I know. You're wondering, she's lost her mind, right?
Yes, in a way. Yes, in a way. That is the Dirty Dozen brass band with Caravan. You might have heard Caravan before. It's a very calming, a very wonderful melodic song or tune. Well, this is not it. This is the Dirty Dozen brass band from New Orleans, and they're performing the same tune that was first performed by Duke Ellington in 1936. How about that? This is from the Dirty Dozen's 1984 album, My Feet Can't Fail Me Now. And that's a prelude to, you know, the need to express this energy, dancing in the streets and Mardi Gras. I thought we could use a little pep in our step. So there you are. The Dirty Dozen Brass Band. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I don't know where to start. I have 8 major subjects, and we can't do them all, that's for sure. And so what I would do is go general, in a sense, and you kind of give us a guide as to where, based on what you are offering today, I'll know where I should go next. Okay? So it's not like you're a tourist here, observing. You're part of the whole mix. That's it. You have work to do, too. The first thing I want to talk about is the state of affairs in Washington, D.C. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. 8th graders could do as good a job as these seasoned politicians, spending so much time fighting each other, quarreling and, you know, nitpicking and doing everything except what they're supposed to do, which is to provide a sense of stasis for this country. Having come through the experience of Donald Trump, who promises that he will put us through a round 2 again in 2024. I'm not looking forward to that. And there are many questions that should be raised around that plan, but one of the things that Trump has managed to do, and this country is unwilling to face it, let alone answer it, is how could they have possibly allowed to be elected as president a guy like Donald Trump? Well, I come from New York, so maybe that pretty much prestates my prejudice. But we know him in New York as a nut, as a self-centered, lying, thieving nut. That's what we knew him as. Some people, you know, kind of took the edge off by saying, well, you know, he's a playboy and he is a man about town. He's the man of the hour, no matter what the hour. But the guy was clearly way off center psychologically, and yet he got elected. So it opened the door really wide to the possibility that just about anybody could be president of the United States. Oh, well, I have to I have to put in the little sidebar here. You could be president of the United States, even if you are a Donald Trump. Because this country is for you. It's about you. It will accommodate you. It will remake you. It will support you. It will give you everything you need to succeed. And so he did. And he took everything given to him and much, much more. And he's threatening again to do the same thing in 2024. And there are people who just can't wait. They just love themselves some Donald. I just love me some Donald Trump. And so the precipitous fall in the United States of what we used to loosely refer to as standards, as what we used to refer to as sanity, and the country is just kind of lumbering along with some people having a modicum more power than other people to influence the way things are going. And it's happening even with Biden. You know, it's a very scary thing when you can't find in Congress enough people to say, we have to have a serious talk. This can't go on. This cannot go on. So I pose the question openly. Are you confident in Joe Biden's ability to continue to be president of this country? Is he really well suited for the job? Does he have the stamina, the strength, the focus? Does he have the ability to bring people together? Does he have the ability, in fact, to forge, if you will, a nation? Or is he part now of the bacchanal in Washington, D.C.? I need not ask about Kamala Harris. What is her contribution right now to the presidency and to the country? What is going on? Where is all of this leading? Who are the people at the center, at the power center? You know, who are the people to be paid attention to? To give us a clue as to where things are going. Do you know? Can you tell? Everybody seems to be confused. Everybody seems to have their hand in this pot. And then on one day, they get a little bit, get 1 or 2 column inches more of copy than they usually get. And then the television comes in and gives them an interview. And it is insane. No logical country runs this way and succeeds. And then I thought about it. And right now, they're sorting out the power equation. Who will have power? Who has power already? How is it going to work? And all this kind of stuff. And the one thing that struck me is that there are no people of color in the room. When power is being discussed or exercised, we're still back to the old formula. We'll let you know. We'll tell you how it all will work out. Don't worry your head. You know, you'll be all right. Everything will be all right. Just trust us. We are familiar with power, the whole concept of power. We're not afraid of it. We can handle things. Just get out of the room for a little while. We'll call you when we're ready. Now, that is what got me all wound up over the weekend. We have a very, at least by his own definition, a very liberal president. We have all these people with all this expertise and experience. I don't see too many Black folks and Latinos in the room. When power is being exercised, we'll call you when we're ready. So that's the first subject I want to tackle today. What is your frank assessment of where we are in Washington in 2021? What does it bode for in the coming years? Where is this country going? Who is running it? What is running it? What is the vision? And what should the people who customarily are on the flip side of the coin, what should we brace ourselves for? 888-874-4888. This is going to get increasingly difficult as a conversation because we're going to go right at the heart of things. It's more than time to assess. Is Joe Biden supposed to be our guy? Should we pretend that there's nothing wrong with him? Should we pretend he will safeguard our interests? Who is doing that job? What do we do when we find nobody is in charge of our specific interests? Do you have a suggestion? Plan B looks like what? What should it, Plan B look like? As you can tell, we might have started with a nice funky beat out of New Orleans, but this is the funky beat that we have been living with for decades and decades. Nobody actually articulates specifically what they see as their responsibility in any situation that we're in as a leader. Who is the leader? I again note, as I have noted before, it's not like Biden doesn't know how come he's there. Say the name Jim Clyburn from South Carolina, and you would have answered that question. Say the phrase, the black vote, that would answer that question. Do you see anybody in the room reflecting that consciousness as people who should be included in this discussion about what's next in America? Who's protecting the people's interest? No, you're not seeing that too much. And we need to really stop this machine and get seriously involved. Because we need answers, we should demand them now. Well, you could see that, you know, Joe Biden is under pressure. That's exactly my point. That sector that applies the pressure always gets what it wants, always gets the answers. People who have delivered, people who have demonstrated their capacity to assist, are never in the room. And we've got to find out why. Is it also that way with Joe Biden? 888-874-4888. Gwen from New York, you start us off today.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little upset after the last show with Gary Null, and it ties right into your show because he talked about a piece of legislation that just made its way through the New York State Assembly. And it's actually saying now that you can, if you suspect somebody who is unvaccinated, has been around somebody who's sick, you can detain them. You can put them somewhere we don't know yet. They don't know where they're going to put us. And it's a very loose bill. And he said it went through the assembly. And I thought, you know, I know that idiot that's at our assembly. I ran against them. And honestly, I know a lot of these people on a very one-on-one level because I ran against them. And when I've talked to them, you know, I wondered how any of these people could run anything. They just didn't seem very bright to me. And I think with the onset of this virus and now the push for this vaccine at any length, you cannot come to the table with the same thought patterns about who's running what or what's their motivation or even about the race issue. The horse is out of the barn. We don't have any more leaders that are politicians. These are not your leaders. These leaders only work for one entity, and that's the corporations. And I think I said this last week, the corporations used to have a lot of influence over the politicians, but now they are the ones in front of the politicians that are writing down what the politician is to say, what the politician is to do. They're writing the policies for the politicians, and they're writing sweeping policies, fascistic policies. So when I look at Joe Biden, I don't really think anything because I fully expected him to just fall in line as exactly the way he was supposed to. And, you know, the funny thing about Trump, because people who support Trump think he is so different, but not true at all. He fell in line beautifully. He did exactly what they wanted him to do when it came to the vaccine and came to the way that he approached the whole pandemic. He was even more a crazy, colorful clown. Yeah, he was a good show to watch. But he fell into line. He did what he was supposed to do. Biden is doing what he's supposed to do. And I think what we need to ask ourselves, what we first need to do, is to anytime you hear anything that's called public-private partnership, that should be like an alarm in your head. Because public-private partnerships, you know, I watched for many years as these public-private partnerships came through my community, which is East Harlem, and destroyed so much. And I love people always saying, well, you know, the private part's going to pick up this and it's really going to do great things for us. It did not. It just gentrifies us that much faster. If you want something to be clean as it can be, you have to keep it in some of the organizations have to be government. Like the prisons have to be run by the government because once they go private, there's absolutely no checks or balances to anything. Once you allow a Coca-Cola company to put a machine in your school, put your roof on your school, you're going to have to let them put the Coca-Cola machine in your building. And I think that this used to be maybe a local problem, but it's now just an international problem. It's national and it's international. And we have zero, I really feel we have zero control over this government. I think that your political officials have a little card in the safe topics they're allowed to talk about. So they're allowed to run with the abortion thing. They're allowed to talk about racism. They're allowed to talk about all kinds of things that are not going to go anywhere, really. But when it comes to important things,
what about Biden, though? Let's get let's hone in on him. Do you believe that he is healthy and that he is going to continue to be healthy for a while, at least to fulfill the job with all of its stresses?
Yes, I believe he is as healthy as Donald Trump. So I believe he's that healthy. I believe he's as far as
his
mental capacity.
Donald Trump isn't healthy. This is a whole thing.
That's right. That's my point. That's my point. Everybody wanted to, not only do people want him to stay in there, but they want him to run in the next term because people don't really care. Because I think what they know is that these heads of state are being propped up by other entities. And so, you know, Joe Biden, he's as healthy as he needs to be. He's breathing, he can see, and he can talk. That's as healthy as he needs to be. He doesn't need to have a brain in his head that works because that's not the job. That's not his job anymore. That's not his job. That's the job of the policymakers. And you should believe me, because if you don't, then take a look around and see how this vaccine is being rolled out and the policies and the things that are happening so quickly. And it's happening under his nose. And there is no conversation whatsoever about it. These are sweeping policies. These are unbelievable policies. And not one word is mentioned about it. The only thing that I've seen that is him push the vaccine, push it with not even, you know, with really no valid reason why everybody has to take this vaccine. So I think that he is a shill, like almost all politicians are. And let me tell you some U-trees. As somebody who has run, and I am a good candidate, and I had good policies, but they don't want people with good policies or ethics. What they want is they want the person who has, first of all, you have to have a scandal in your under your belt, because if you don't, they can't get you out when they're ready to get you out, okay? And secondly, you have to play their game with these corporations. I mean, I remember interviewing with certain groups in New York, and, you know, what I was saying sounded like perfect to me. It sounded like, you know, President Roosevelt himself was speaking, but there was something they wanted. And it was kind of a mystery to me. They weren't looking for clean hands. They weren't looking for high ideals or ethics. They wanted something else. And, you know, they got it in my opponent. My one opponent is, you know, a multimillionaireess and all kinds of dirt under her carpet. This is what they want. Because when it's time to get you out, or always want to have the option of getting you out, you've got to have some dirt. So this is the kind of people that the people who choose. And, you know, I hate to say it, because I've always been political. I always vote. I have always fought, you know, all the reasons for why. And I hate to sound so jaded. And I don't even think I am jaded. I think that I've gotten to the place of thinking that you must think even further out of the box. You can't expect anything from these people. We're beyond that now. We have an emergency. We have an emergency where we have private organizations that are running our public government. That's the problem here. And that's the one, in my opinion, we have to address. Because it doesn't matter who's up there.
Well, thank you. It's a pretty powerful opening that you gave us here.
Thanks.
Thanks for it. Thanks for calling in and contributing. 888-874-4888. What is going on? Your visceral reaction. It doesn't have to be a reaction that you tested with a group, a focus group. Just what you are feeling as a citizen of this country in this moment of time. Do you feel that this is a democratic process? Do you feel that things are being done on the up and up? It passes the smell test? Or do you believe that the same old has returned or is returning full force all over again? Even with a very liberal guy as president, even with people so excited to see this presidency take hold. It's not moving. It's not moving, certainly, in the right direction. 888-874-4888. I'd like to know what you think. Ed from Queens, what are you thinking?
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How you doing?
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Like I said before, Biden was the de facto choice. He has been a servant of empire from his first political offense. So I didn't expect anything from him as far as the Democratic Party is concerned with the African American population. They don't look at us with any respect. They said, who else are you going to vote for? Who else you got? So, that being said, national politics is dead. I mean, you're looking for world leaders. You need to look at Davos. You need to look at Klaus Schwab. You need to look at Bill Gates. You need to look at the IMF because they're setting the tone. I tell you, you got to read that book, The Great Reset. Everything in that book is, in one way or another, is starting to manifest itself. The vaccine cards, the stipulations, the worldwide economic depression, and America is just playing its part in this game. That's all. I mean, the only advice that I can give, and I've said it to people time and time again, you got to get local. You got to take control of your local government, good, bad, or indifferent, and you got to establish some parameters in your own space. You know, I'm volunteering for the election board. I'm going to be working during the election. I've been just trying to get the community meetings on Zoom. Hopefully things will start to open up because I'm from the old school. I like face-to-face. I like to see look a person in their eyes and see what they're saying, not over some video screen. I'm not comfortable with that. But that's the only solution. This national politics is a joke. It's too much money. It's controlled by a very few select elite. And all of these players are servicing either their egos or their pocketbooks, and they have no intention of servicing the common individuals.
When you see that door open, the door that shuts everybody else out except those who supposedly belong there, and the door opens, and you say, well, wait a minute, I thought so many blacks were elected. I thought so many Latinos were elected. Where are they? Does that ever strike you?
It used to strike me. It doesn't. Power conceives nothing without a demand. And these people that are in political office now are self-serving sycophants. Their only concern was their own potential future within the Beltway. And you know as well as I do, the Beltway is like a closed universe sometimes. What goes on in Washington, D.C. is not what's going on in the real world. And a lot of these people are, for want of a better word, the cult of personality, the great I am. From Chuck Schumer to Ocasio-Cortez, making videos and making a gestural stand, sleeping on Capitol steps. The real hard work of legislating hasn't been done since the days of Shirley Chisholm, in my opinion. And these people are not, they're sycophantic politics. They're not servants of the people. And until the force of the people is placed upon them in a productive way, they're always going to be playing games, making gestures, doing facial politics for the cameras and for the soundbite.
What is your honest appraisal of Joe Biden as president of the United States? What concerns you?
He's a servant of empire. Joe Biden, I mean, come on. We're talking about crime bill Joe Biden. We're talking about SNL banking Joe Biden. Like I said, like Helen Caldicott said, the record. Joe Biden is not a dynamic leader. He's not what's necessary for these times. And he never was, but there was nobody that was. He was an antidote to the Trumpism that was running through this country, and not even a good antidote because Trump could happen again.
Wow, I thought I was rough, but thank you. That was a very good analysis. Thank you so much. Ernie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Chief?
Okay.
You know,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. The plane was flying also. But I want very seldom are you ever corrected, but I want to tell you Joe Biden is not a liberal, you know, but still he is better than probably some choices. But, you know, there were supposedly liberals that ran in the past election, but I guess through gaslighting, they made everybody feel like Biden was the best one or the most electable. But the thing is, this is a right-wing fascist government or country that I'm proud to be born. But the fact is, it is what it is. And supposedly, it's that one bird, the right wing and the left wing. And the left wing is not the strongest and have never been. So the right wing, coming from the background that we've been in, have been quite fascist in every way, shape, and form. And the left wing tries to appease them. So even when you have someone that is elected in the Democratic Party, they are trying to appease the right wing, the fascist party, because they want to be loved by everyone. But we are in dire straits, because it's just, there is no way to win other than, I'm so glad that the supposed left wing of our party, or the progressive, as they are called, and the moderates. There is no moderates. These are left wing or conservative Democrats. But I'm glad that they are sticking to their guns and saying, listen, no, we're going to have to include a larger piece of this money for things that are humanitarian, instead of just pumping it back into the system through contractors under the disguise, and it's needed, of reconstruction, whatever you would want to call that.
So I'll ask you the question straight ahead. Is Biden capable of handling this office in the capacity of president, from what we have seen so far?
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. But he is playing, he's pandering to the right, and he's pandering to the world, I mean, the corporate world, like everyone else that you had on said. But he is capable. He is more capable than most people, because he's been in that environment for 40-some years, you know? And therefore, he is more than capable. He knows how it works. Now, it has changed since his time when he was as a conservative. The conservatives now are frightening, you know? But the fact is that he is more capable, and as the young lady said, that he is just as healthy as Trump was. And you said Trump isn't, and he isn't. But the fact is that I tell you, I think I see a little loss of step or two, because I think him taking the vaccines and the booster wasn't a great idea, you know. But still, he had to take it, because he's a part of that. That I wonder, though, if Trump had stayed in, how much more to the right we would have turned, because he would have felt like this is, if he had the insurrection.
He couldn't have stayed in. He was rejected. Let's face it. He was rejected. He thought he was the greatest thing to sliced bread. Even in his own circles, people said, no, you're not. You got to go.
Yes, well, he still got, you know, he talked about how many more votes that he got even the first time. And there is still a large element of people in this country that still feel like, when they say they are conservative, I want to know
what are they a conservative to? What is the conservatism that you're talking about? And even when they say fiscal, I'm saying that's jive. We have billions, I mean, trillions of dollars in debt. And, you know, come on, don't even tell me something like that. But when they say conservatism, they are talking about the domination of the world, as they have been, you know. And, you know, I'm glad that we won the war and we get to control the world, because if had Germany won, they would have been even more fascist than America could ever be, probably. But the fact is that, you know, our currency became so strong because we can change a government like that anytime, as we have done all during Africa, South America, and around the world. But the whole fact is that I'm so glad that, you know, we are becoming awoke. And I'm going to tell you, Patrice, I feel sorry. I mean, I feel sad for, I should say, my people. Because sometimes I think we're the dumbest people in the world. And, you know, we have that elite 10% like you are, who are exceptionally smart.
Me?
Who are,
no.
Of course. Yes, ma'am. I must admit.
I'm hanging in like the rest of everybody else. You know, that's, yeah. I'm just hanging in.
But see, love, you've been awoke 30 years ago. You understand? And if people are just coming around, they are just coming around. And I mean, it's like the dawning of the astrological sign when you said Aquarius in the head, you're becoming more aware. Let me tell you, you were there 30 years ago and we still got a long way to go. But when it comes to economic sense, I must say, I think that we are the dumbest in the world. And I'm talking about all over, you know, you know, I listened to Dr. Arakani. You know, she's dynamic. She was head of the African Union, and she was too left wing. They had to get rid of her. They were Africa Union was sorry that they appointed her after she got in, and they got rid of her because the colonial powers couldn't take her brassness, her, and but you know. For the mass, you know, the masses of us are still so malleable, and they know how to gaslight us so easy. And we are, you know, my mother used to say, and I thought she was a little harsh one time when she was saying that we come in 51, how many varieties does Heinz soup has? 51 varieties. And half of us don't like the other half. So we're in a pathetic situation. I'm sorry. So, you know, we're constantly at each other. And this is one last point, you know, and I see sometimes people that are liberals and truly, you know, liberals, and I feel it. I feel the love in them. And they talk about the plight that we have, why there's so much crime in any communities and mostly shooting each other, killing each other. And they were saying that there is no economic feasible way for them to be out, to get out of, you know, because the people are not vested into real estate. Therefore, my prediction is that in 50 years, there won't be any Negroes in New York other than us that are in the public housing, you know, because who can...
Well, that's support? A pretty dismal prediction.
Well, I'm sorry. I hear you.
Is, I hear you.
Yeah, I know. I would rather be the other way. I would rather be so positive, but, you know, I'm relatively old, and I've seen a lot, and, you know, I think that I had the same consciousness that I had 50 years ago. And I haven't seen much change, like the dynamicity of us. We arise to the highest plateaus of development, and it shows in almost every aspect. But that's that 10%. And the other 90% seem to be misguided and undirectable. And to go back to what one of your callers saying, the politicians, when I was a young kid or young, it was school teachers that were the leaders in our community. And then it went to the preachers. And the preachers became dynamic because a lot of them got education, and I thought that they were the brightest people in the world. And I won't go too much into that other than that they said the right thing and they was leading us in the right direction. So it evolved to the politicians. Now, the politicians are people that are happy to have a six-figure job, you know, that this is their first one, and they are happy, and they will do anything, and they prostitute themselves to first the Democratic Party, which is controlled by the corporations like the Republicans are. And, you know, I have love for a lot of people that have, I think that I have learned things from them, but sometimes I see chinks in their armor, you know?
Well, and this is how life works. I mean, nobody's perfect, but
oh, that's true.
Politics is a unique part of our lives, and we have to understand what it is and what it's supposed to do and be. Very often what we are told and what we see and witness ourselves and experience ourselves, two different things. Thank you so much, Ernie, for contributing today. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
All right. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
All right. I'm sorry that I tuned in late. I got busy with something. Can you quickly give me the question of the day? Because I want to relate directly to it.
Concerns our concern about where things are in Washington, D.C. with this current president. Are we confident? Are we reasonably comfortable with his presidency? Are we having doubts about where things are going, especially when that door opens up and we get a glimpse of all the people in the room who are transacting the nation's business, and we see a paucity of black and brown faces? Do you have any concerns?
Well, I have no special concerns for that, because I realize that even if you do look at those phenotype people who have the browner faces, people who they call black quite often, many of them are comprador types of people. They work in the interests of the ruling class that run things. So the ruling class has found over the years that you can get people that look like your chief victims, and you have that class of people, we call them comprador people, who do work in the service of those who rule. So, you know, we're thinking about the people in high places as secretaries of this and that and the other, people who can even be a chief executive, like, President Obama and whatnot. So the point is, the ruling class is not going to give up anything, and so they try different things, and it may even include people who they extract from the, let's say, black bourgeois population and whatnot to fill into those positions to run the empire. The empire doesn't voluntarily give up by itself. It tries to run as long as possible. And whether you have a Democrat or a Republican in office, their goal, their mission is the same. They are both groups owned by the ruling class and do not represent the masses of people, regardless of their phenotype, black or white or whatever. They don't represent the people at all. They represent the interests of those who rule, and that is in respect to all areas. The people are quite often like pawns. They let you be in their army and go to countries and kill people or help them in imperialism, which they're interested in. But the people, as I've said before, have no party that represents the interests of the masses of people who live here. That's the way I see it.
So what, therefore, should we expect further from the Biden administration, the Biden presidency?
More of the same with a more pleasant face than that was there before, you know, with the previous president. So Biden has that more pleasant face, and that's a change. And so all the sections of the ruling class, the finance, the manufacturers, and so forth, and all their divisions, they support both Republican and Democrat, and they run the place, and they fool the people into thinking that you go down and vote and you're going to make some significant change, which is impossible because the two groups of the one-party state that we live in controls the interests of everything, and they control things in the favor of themselves, not what is good for the people. And as I said many times before, they have a way of handling bones. They throw bones out with meat on them sometimes and other times very little, and they control the people. That's their goal, and they control the media, and the media, as I'm sure you know, is full of lies. And, you know, so the point is, don't get the idea that just because you get Biden in there, things are going to get so much better than when they were under Trump, or maybe Obama was supposed to be wonderful because of his phenotype. But you know, you got to remember that Obama worked for those who rule, and he could never have gotten to be president if they didn't vet him and make sure that he was their Negro. So that's the way, you know, I see this. And we have to understand that these people do not work for us.
Thank you very much for your comment today, your commentary, I should say. Muhammad from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Muhammad, you're on the air. Okay, so I guess he's not. This is a very important time for us, the whole nation, because this is a time that a nation basically gets down to the nitty-gritty, especially when there's a change in administration. There's supposed to be a change of attitude. There's supposed to be a change in the way things are done, that are commensurate with the goals. But we're not clear about what these goals are yet. We know intuitively what they might turn out to be because of the history of politics in this country, where things are likely to go. And Brother David just told us, you know, where things are likely to go because they've been going in that same direction for a long time. They're likely not to change. But as we grapple with this idea of a new presidency, one that hasn't yet taken hold of the presidency, not in the fullest sense, we still have to ask the questions. What is going on? What is the division of labor within reframing and recasting America? What is that likely to be? Who is going to be doing that? We don't see an overwhelming presence or very significant presence of the people in all of this. It's the same kinds of representation that we've been used to for a long time. The people who are connected are the ones also making policy. But we should, by now, we should have some inkling as to what we're comfortable with Biden, and what we're not comfortable with Biden. What is he indicating that troubles us? What is he indicating that keeps us at peace or at ease, at least? Where is the country going? We know projects that have to be done. You have to do this, you have to do that. And it's a case-by-case basis. We will try and choreograph all of these crazy things that are all coming due at the same time. No question. But what is the plan? And why is it that Biden has not yet cemented himself, at least in the psyches of the people, that he is going to do well? He is going to do and undo a lot of things that just did not work or that were deleterious to so many of our parts of our population, and he's going to improve on some things. We have a feeling that a lot of things are being done in secret, out of our gaze and outside of our supervision and, you know, our analysis. And it is beginning to feel and smell and look not too different from the Trump administration. It's very troubling to see, because Biden was supposed to be an open guy. He was supposed to be someone who would say, this is what we're going to do, this is where I'm headed. These are the 10 top issues that we are going to address. He's not talking anymore. Things are happening, but we don't know what, and we don't know how. And he's already begun to be reclusive. Not open, but reclusive. That's not good. And again, I raised a question. All these people, black and brown especially, who had fortified his campaign, made it possible. I refer again to James Clyburn of South Carolina, who breathed life literally into Biden's campaign. Biden would not have had a campaign without the incredible work of Clyburn and without the votes of blacks and Latinos. But we find that he's acting kind of strange, or maybe not acting strangely. Maybe we are just watching a little more diligently. But it is not looking good. And somewhere, somehow, that has to be discussed. And it has to be faced. It's a political reality. And we see Trump gearing up. Trump is being covered at this moment, as you know, as if he were still president. And as if he is expected to be president again. He just took the Republican Party, just took it. And he's doing with it what he wants to do. The whole country has gone mad. And we are expected to go mad along with it. And I'm saying, no, this is where we should apply the brake and say, let's figure out where we are first. Thanks so much for listening and contributing today. Let's get together again tomorrow and do some more talking. Bye-bye.